Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy Friday the 13th, in fact. So Brad's back. We had Bennett yesterday, and Jeffrey will be back from France Monday in time for Game 7. Do you, Brad, do you, would you avoid walking under a ladder? You're walking down the... This is a Ryan
yes.
Olson experience.
Yes.
If you're walking down the sidewalk and you have the choice between mm-hmm. under a ladder or around,
mm-hmm.
now if you actually go under the ladder,
right?
Would you think it would be bad luck or not?
Yes,
you would.
Yeah, I'm a little superstitious.
You're walking down the sidewalk, and mm-hmm. I give you $40 to walk under the ladder instead of around the ladder.
Yeah, I would do it.
You would take the $40.
Yeah, I would take your $40.
Okay. All right. Do you avoid stepping on cracks?
Yes.
You would avoid stepping, but for $40, you would step
would
like hell
step
on a crack.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah. You see what my threshold is. It's very low.
If there's a black cat, do you Ooh. Try to avoid the black cat crossing in front of you?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Breaking a mirror. Who the hell breaks a mirror? Like,
You got to be careful. I am always careful with mirrors.
You're more careful with a mirror than with a framed anything?
I think that's true. I'm very sort of superstitious with this stuff. Yeah,
I've never even heard this one. This is all from Ron Olson.
Oh, good.
It's Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Seeing an owl.
Mm.
I don't consider that bad luck. I think it's cool to see an owl.
Ooh. I've never thought about
the
owl superstition.
10% think it's a sign something bad will happen. It will. Weirdly, those 10% are mice. Yeah, the people are mice. That would be. How about opening an umbrella indoors? Do you not do that?
Yeah, I try to avoid that.
That's
yeah.
bad. I didn't know that uh-huh. was bad luck. It seems ungainly to me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was also bad luck.
I've heard that.
666? Is that something you're superstitious about?
Mm-hmm. It's the Friday the 13th theme I'm here.
Do you hold your breath as you pass a cemetery?
No, I've never done that one. How about you? No?
No, I never. No. Never wouldn't occur to me.
Okay.
I drive past that cemetery all the time, you know, on Poplar, whatever that cemetery is.
The one over there by
240.
Yeah. You don't hold your breath then. That's
white
good.
Lighters. I didn't know that's a thing. Did you know that's a thing? There's a myth that Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, it's a myth. So there is a lie.
There's a reason.
It's called a lie.
Yeah.
That Jimi Hendrix, uh-huh. Janis Joplin, and Kurt Cobain all had white lighters on them when they died.
That's a new one then for me.
Well, it's also not true. So,
good.
So there you go. Anyway, the question is it going to be bad luck for the Grizzlies or for the Warriors?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to hand it to you, Brad. I don't often want to
hand
it to
you. Don't hand me anything
yet. 2 days ago.
It's very early still here, Jeff.
You came in here and said they're going to win the next three. And I believed you were on some sort of a psychedelic
Quaaludes substance. Or something. Yeah.
Mushrooms. And but after the way they won game five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All things are certainly possible, right?
Yeah. It's on the table still.
All things are certainly possible. Late game tonight. It's going to be a wild weekend in Memphis. You got The Who playing at FedEx Forum. You got Barbecue Fest going on. And then you have Game 6 and all the festivities around it. I think they're doing the Fourth Bluff thing again tonight, the watch party. The Grizzlies are. And I've heard those have been very successful, by the way. Thousands of people showing up for the watch party. There's going to be a touch of rain today, I think. But hopefully it'll clear up by that time. So big night in Memphis. Today on the show, we will be talking about all of that. Jason Smith is going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. And then I think one last time we will open the phones and talk to you about your thoughts on what's going to happen tonight. And so that's the lineup. Although we're going to start with, again, we'll be talking a lot about the Grizzlies throughout the course of the day. But we're endeavoring to get Laird Veach on the phone because yesterday the University of Memphis announced that they are going to be partnering with the city on a $150 to $200 million project on the Liberty Bowl and on the Simmons Bank.
Liberty Stadium. Yes, you got it.
You know what? Does this make me a bad person?
Mm-mm.
If Simmons,
you broke the news on it, by the way.
No, if it make a bad person, then I'm less. I'm just going to call it the Liberty Bowl.
Okay, I don't think that makes you a bad person. They have a lot of Simmons signs over there.
But Simmons,
they're a sponsor of your show.
They used
Jeff.
To. No.
Oh, they're no longer.
What makes me a bad person is that they're no longer sponsoring my show.
Is that money going to the Liberty Bowl?
So I'm
going to
be a little less careful about saying Simmons every time.
I don't think that makes it. If you're a bank, come on board.
I'm going to be a little less careful about saying Simmons.
No.
I'll be honest with you.
Not at all.
I'm just now that I'm not paid to call it Simmons.
I think you're totally fine.
I'm going to call it the Liberty Bowl.
It's all in bounds, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's your show. It's called the Jeff Calkins Show.
So, anyway, and there were some questions, like some people, the pictures are totally cool.
Oh, it reminded me of what they did at Soldier in Chicago, where they just kind of blew it up and redid it.
Well,
same
and then
site.
The other one, like, there are definitely places, the idea that you need a new stadium to be one of the big boys, what's happening in Knoxville? They're a big boy, right?
Yeah.
That's happening in Knoxville. You can reimagine
your site. They did it in Starkville, too. They blow half of it up.
The Kansas City Chiefs. Like, the Buffalo Bills are building a new stadium. The Kansas City Chiefs are blowing it up.
Right.
The Titans are imagining they're going to build a new stadium, incredibly already.
Unbelievable.
So there are different ways to do this. It doesn't mean it has to be
There's multiple ways to skin a cat, Jeff.
Right, exactly. But I'll be honest, like, I am someone who has always wanted to have a on-campus, smaller, perfect stadium for them. And this is from way back when. And so when you see these, you're like, oh, well, you know, yesterday, Laird Veach went through the math and the decision tree. And here's the thing. They have to now raise money for the $150 to $200 million. And so in the end, I don't need to be convinced because it's not, you know, I'm not. But in the end, what matters is this is fabulous. If it's fabulous at the Liberty Bowl, still would be nice if we're physically on campus or closer to the campus to bring people on campus. I'm not going to deny that. But if it's fabulous, if it does the job of making you look first class and making you not say, oh, that crappy ass Liberty Bowl, right? Like, then it does the job. And then I am behind it. And now that they've decided to go this way, I hope it is fabulous. That's it. I hope that it is fabulous. And so we're trying to get Laird Veach. Joined now, as promised, by Laird Veach. He is the athletic director at the University of Memphis. Big day yesterday for the university because they announced they will be partnering with the city on a transformational renovation of the Liberty Bowl. Welcome, Laird. And I will say, so this is not just a fresh coat of paint and some spackling. It's more dramatic than that.
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty obvious with the pretty pictures. Those certainly do help sell the vision, but it's a dramatic, you know, overhaul of that whole experience. And I am proud of that, and I'm excited and appreciate the city, you know, kind of joining us in that vision. That if we're gonna do something out there, we need to really, really do it right, and something that's gonna, you know, elevate us and, like we said, look like we belong at the highest level, and also be something that is there to stay for, you know, for many, many years. And you know, serve the city well.
In terms of, and I'm going to get into how you got to this particular decision in just a minute. In terms of, though, what it will look like, the biggest part of it, well, there are two parts that were intriguing to me. One, you talk about the halo, and I'll ask you about that in a second. But the west side, which is the side where the press box is now, what is going to happen to that?
Well, it's going to be a complete and total renovation. Exactly the construction process that it takes to get there is part of what we need to determine next. But essentially, we're going to gut that whole west side, you know, from top to bottom. I'm sure we'll, you know, maintain the outer shell and certain pieces of it, but essentially, it's going to be a complete and total overhaul. And in Canada, that's needed in order to bring in the type of experiences that are expected in a, you know, modern venue with, you know, the field level kind of clubs and really, you know, high end suites that are closer to the field and just all the different elements. You know, and that also gives us a chance to reset the way that thing really looks. And, you know, I think people view the now Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, you know, from kind of that perspective of Tiger Lane and that side. And, you know, this is going to, you know, reset the whole look.
It will reset the whole look. Obviously, I was struck by it. You were literally taking the west side down to the studs in terms of resetting the whole look and the experience, too. That's where this halo, which you describe, what is the halo now and what are you imagining? Again, a lot of this is to be nailed down. Will look like.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was really most excited about going into this design process. And we started sort of brainstorming and realizing what that space could be. So, you know, everybody that's been there knows you walk through the you know, the outer perimeter, and then you kind of walk through this empty no man's land, and then you get into, you know, entering the actual stadium closer to it up next to the concourses. And you know, the thought is move that entrance perimeter to the first spot, the first one, and then basically all of that space that is not being utilized now, you activate it. And by that I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, putting trees and other things in there to make it you know, more appealing and comfortable, or food trucks, tailgate tents, concert stages, you know, a lot of concessions. You can think of beer gardens. We've talked about a space, you know, dedicated to students, so they have an area that they can really gather and be. You know, that's what folks want now in terms of a football game day experience, and it's really what, like, modern facilities are shifting to. If you look at particularly like professional venues, they have experiences all throughout and out into the concourse, and they have much larger concourses that allow for those kind of experiences. So it's a pretty unique opportunity to not have to kind of go in and build and identify all that space, or, you know, move out a bunch of parking or other things when it already essentially exists in terms of the footprint, and we got to maximize the opportunity.
I like the way you put that. There is this no man's land. You come in through the big gate, and then there's like this no man's land, like the DMZ zone or something, and it makes a lot of sense. Okay, and people do. It is funny, by the way. It strikes me that we talk about this so much in terms of instrumental. Will it get you into a, you know, will it help you in any realignment that comes in the future? It also will be fun for you. Like, we underestimate the fact that, like, it'll be cool to be there. And there are people actually who've gone to games and go to games for years and years and years. And that's kind of a big part of this, too.
No question. You know, there's a major pride factor in this, and that we, you know, you can't take lightly, and partly because we're going to need that pride factor to help drive the revenue to make it happen. But also because, you know, you think about sort of the, you know, the one of the real purposes behind experiences like this, college football in general, is bringing people together in a community. And, you know, you want to go to a place that you feel good about, that you have pride about, and that, you know, represents the type of place that you are. And, you know, when you go through something like this, and I've half had the fortune in my career to be a part of a few different things similar, maybe not exactly the same, but close to it, and one in particular. And the pride that comes from that, for the people that are associated with it, that help make it happen, but also that show up every day and get to go to the venue and see it and be a part of it, it's significant. And it helps, you know, really draw, you know, more and more people and more investment in the university and the city and everything involved.
Okay. Some of the folks will want to know sort of the decision tree. You walked everyone through it yesterday, but for those who missed it or are wondering, you know, was a new stadium considered? Can you briefly go through that, the math, and what the decision tree looked like there?
I'll try to make it brief, although it was a lengthy and thorough process, which I think is part of the point. It was something that we took very, very seriously, and I want folks to know that you know, we were very diligent about truly looking at the on-campus option and not just, you know, not just checking a box. In fact, I think, you know, in many ways, that's part of why this took longer than what I would have hoped, and I think many would have when we started it last summer at the beginning of the football season. You know, I had hoped we could be done, you know, maybe a few months ago even, but we really needed to give that a thorough review and look at it from every angle. So we did that. So we hired, on top of hiring Populous Architects out of Kansas City to create the vision for the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, we also hired them, we did, the university, to do a feasibility study, an updated feasibility study for on campus. And that included, you know, what locations, what size, how would parking work, you know, all the different elements that you might imagine. I'm trying to summarize it quickly because it was a lot and very detailed. And a big part of it was, you know, what can we generate from a new stadium and what would it cost? And, you know, as we shared in terms of general numbers, the study showed that it was a reasonable capacity for us to generate around $200 million associated with the new stadium. And that's every revenue stream. That's a naming rights, philanthropy, seating sales, you know, sponsorships, concessions, everything you could think of, right? And the cost is dramatically higher than what it was even, you know, 5-10 years ago to build a stadium like this. And you know, we felt like if we're going to do it, we need to do it at a level that, you know, that we can be proud about and similar to the level that we could create over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium with the investment we've talked about. So that would have been more of like a $400 million number. So, you know, that is part of the consideration. If you go down that path, it would have been really, really challenging in a lot of ways. And we can get what we need to get and get something I think is going to be really inspiring and really be impactful in the ways we want it to be over with the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Just to clarify, there were places where they imagined it could go. Is that right?
Yes. You know, and I'm sure many folks, particularly folks that have been passionate about the on-campus option, you know, recall when this surfaced several years ago. And, you know, there were place locations identified then that we looked at and dusted off. And, you know, some of those no longer exist because of other construction that have taken place since then. But, you know, there's different areas, you know, none that are, you know, just perfect and ideal, and all of which require either, you know, closer, so some additional close proximity parking, whether that be a parking garage or they require additional land that would need to be purchased by the university to make it happen. But it is possible. It was possible, but it you know, it's challenging.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I think will be interesting is that it's obviously, I think, totally rational to think that if I can't raise $400 million, like I can't have that stadium. But it's interesting because now you're raising money for this project. And I imagine one of the challenges is getting out the idea that this is not settling or half-assed, that this is going to be a spectacular facility. I don't, like, it would have been easier to raise money for a new project than for this project. Well, I guess you just have to be very clear and get people to believe, and I think the pictures help this, that this is not some sort of, well, we couldn't do it, so I guess we'll just do this. That is not the sense I get, even honestly talking and hearing the enthusiasm both from you and other people at the university for what this might look like.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective, Jeff, because it is very accurate. It was one of the things that I was concerned about. We all were, as we zeroed in on this decision, that if we're going to go down this path, it needs to be, inspiring, and it needs to be something that people want to invest in. And you're right; they got to recognize. I mean, this is still, arguably the largest project this university has ever been, associated with or attempted to take on. Now we do have a willing partner in the city, right? And that is very helpful. But it is something that was important. We do it right, and not just something that is another step, with that facility, it needs to be the step.
In terms of how this works functionally, you're going to be now raising money for the next 18 months. It's not that you haven't begun that. I'm sure you've had discussions, but the bank account hasn't started to fill up necessarily yet. So you got to do that.
Right.
You have to actually nail down the plans rather than sort of theoretical plans. Functionally, when do you plan to start construction? And then do you do it? Do you build it while the team is playing in that? How is this all going to work?
Yeah, so good questions. And you're right. You summarized it pretty well that for the first 18 months or so, really until after the 2023 football season. So not this one, but the one after. We're between now and then, it is time to really finalize the detailed design and construction. It's the time to really formalize exactly how this is going to work with the city and who's bringing what to the table and raise a significant amount of money. Now, we'll still have some more time to continue that process, particularly on the fundraising side after construction starts, but we really have to get a long ways in that process before we're willing to, break ground, certainly. And then the thought is you break ground after the 23 season. You do work through the 2024 season in time for the 2025. So, and that's all a goal that we have several elements we have to hit before we get to that point. But you can work through a season and remain there during construction. So, one of my stops previously at Kansas State, we did a very similar thing. We actually, almost identical in many respects, gutted the entire west side. Basically you create a construction perimeter around that west side. And you use the rest of the stadium.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, we'll have to stage that with what we're doing with the halo and make sure there's good access points. And you're not going to have the entire stadium, right? But you're going to be able to function at a level that will be much better than trying to move the entire operation someplace else for a season.
I guess it'll be nice if Ryan would win a whole bunch of games this year. Continue the enthusiasm for the – like, as you're raising money, people got to be excited about the project, but they have to be excited about this team as well. Is it, by the way, you've talked about in terms of – you were very clear that you need a place that looks like you belong. If there are future realignment opportunities, you need a place that looks like you belong. A, do you imagine there will be future realignment opportunities? And B, are you confident, accomplish that task?
I am confident it accomplishes the task for us looking like we belong and doing everything we can possibly do, right? So whenever you're subject to a decision that is, in the hands of someone else, you
right.
control what you can control, and you network and you talk to people and you have relationships and you sell yourself and you build, you invest, and do everything you can, and then it's obviously it's up to someone else, and that's be the case here. But I am confident we will have done all we can possibly do to position ourselves, and I do believe that there will be opportunities in one way, shape, or form. The conference realignment may be one of the most unpredictable things in our world, and on top of that, you have all the change and turmoil going on at a national level in our world, right, with the changes at the NCAA level and all the other things that are happening and discussing. So it's not clear exactly how it's all going to play out, but it is pretty clear that we're headed for significant change. And even just looking back on history, conference realignment has existed for, since the beginning of college athletics in one way, shape, or form. Periodically, those things just bubble up and happen. there will be more opportunities, there will be more change. And while we can't predict all of that, we got to do all we can to position ourselves.
Talking to Laird Veach, athletics director at the University of Memphis, I thought one interesting question that came up yesterday at the press conference was the management of this facility. Because without disparaging the current systems, you know, one of the issues was who's controlling what and who's responsible for what and why, therefore, for example, are the windows never cleaned? Was just a small example, but it was replicated throughout the entire stadium. And it's an interesting question about if you build this beautiful place, you do need to make sure that it's going to be maintained like a beautiful place.
No question. And, you know, everybody recognizes that, whether that's, you know, the mayor of the city, us, everybody involved knows that, you know, particularly if you're going to invest these kind of dollars and make a transformation of this significance, then you got to take care of it, right? You got to service it the right way. And we need to, you know, the experience around a game day has the facility has a big impact on that, but it's also the people, right? I mean, the people that are taking your tickets, to serving the concessions, to, you know, organizing and facilitating how you get into the stadium when you drive in, which I know is another challenge for us. So we got to really elevate all of that. So that's a lot of work that's going to be done. And a lot of that has to do with resources, right? If we're going to invest these kind of dollars, you know, on the front end for the facility, we also got to make sure we have some resources on the back end, which the facility will help with to elevate the, you know, the service and the maintenance and cleaning and all those things. And part of it's just how it's operated. And, you know, like I said, it's still similar to the funding. That's one of the things we really got to work through with the city in terms of how that's managed and what's best. But, you know, I do feel really good about the mayor and our relationship and partnership there. So we just got to really roll up our sleeves and figure this thing out.
In terms of, I know that you, the financing has not been decided between the city and the university and whether the state will be involved at any level. Or at least not. I'm curious though. Have you had your own private discussions that you have, even if you're not willing to tell me here on the radio, that you have about who's going to do what? Like, well, the rough percentages here. You must have come to some basic sort of understanding of what might this possibly look like, right?
Well, there's certainly been conversations about options, right, and potential scenarios and how we could come together from different ways, because there's a lot of ways to make something like this happen, a lot of different models you can utilize. And we've discussed different models with different people. And a lot of it's just advice in general. Like, if we're going to go down this path, you know, in whatever way, whether city, state, otherwise. And like I said yesterday in the press conference, there were some conversations about from the state side. And like I shared, you know, obviously we haven't done anything formal there. We get advice from people. And one of the things that was clear was, you know, if there's ever going to be any kind of support for something like this at a state level, it's, we're going to have to be together on it with the city, right? We need to be sending a clear message, you know, to everybody, right? Our donors, but also, you know, state officials and others that, you know, we're together here in the city of Memphis, for what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, what's clear too is that the resources will ultimately matter in terms of your ability to do this, but what it will look like in the end. In other words, 150 and 200 million are different numbers, and you said it's between 150 and 200. Construction costs go up. You will ultimately make decisions about, can we afford this? Can we afford that? So I would, I guess if people want to get on board, this would be the moment. If they have an extra $5 million in their pocket and want to put their name on a suite or something, Laird, would you be, how do people contact, should people get in touch with you if they happen to have having been inspired by this conversation, if they want to name that Halo area after their beloved father, who was a Tiger fan since he was three, I suppose you'd take those calls?
Yeah, and no question. I'm going to fall short of actually throwing out my...
No, I know. Don't do that. Don't do that. People can get in touch with you. Call the athletic department.
Right.
You're going to be raising money now. Now you got to make this happen.
Yes.
So,
right.
Well,
I have a feeling with, you know, the staff we have here and the vision we have that, you know, they're probably going to be hearing from us directly. So we're not going to be shy.
All right. Well, congratulations, Laird. Thanks very much for coming on to take us through that. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the time.
That's Laird Veach from the University of Memphis. And there you heard the explanation of what they're doing. And I thought it was important that he go through how they made their decision. And now the really important thing is to persuade people that it's going to be truly transformational and not, you know, fixing up Tim McCarver, you know, like
right,
it's not going to be that.
Right,
and I do think the idea of gutting the whole West Side.
Yeah.
When you see the picture, the
that was the most critical question
is the most critical. Probably it's going to be a totally different stadium. At least that side is going to be a totally different stadium. And
get rid of that old press box.
There's a lot to be done. Yeah, but if all they were doing was replacing the press box and putting on some seat backs and paint and whatever, then you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
Why are you doing this? You know, and there's some legitimate questions. I saw someone tweet, like, when it's not your facility, why are you doing this? Like, it's not your arena and you're going, it's the city's.
Yeah.
And you're going to put, and I saw over at the Daily Memphian, Bill Dries had a story saying the mayor saying the university is going to pay the lion's share.
I saw it too.
So there's a lot to be, but you know, it is not my first choice. I though understand it, having seen how they go through it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of pumped about what it could be. So
the pictures really help a lot.
The pictures certainly
help. That is a good marketing start, for sure.
Absolutely. Did you know it is Better Sleep Month? May is Better Sleep Month. Tonight's game time, notwithstanding, 9 o'clock.
Right,
But over at Sleep Number, they have a 30-day sleep wellness program. I can't imagine what it would be like to struggle with sleep, because I do not. But if you go to mysleep30.com, there is a 30-day sleep wellness program that will help you if you are one of these people with sleep. The other thing that could help you is a Sleep Number bed. I got mine last summer. I have it dialed into a perfect 55. You get to pick your own sleep number, not too firm, not too soft, just right for you. Yours might be a 45 or a 67 or like what? You'll figure out, how do I get the perfect night of sleep? Right now, don't miss Sleep Number's weekend special. During their Memorial Day sale, save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. Queen, only $19.99, plus free premium home delivery when you add a base. That ends Monday, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. When we come back, we'll resume conversation about the Memphis Grizzlies, their chances tonight. We'll talk to Jason Smith, then Chris Harrington, and then you. It's Jeff Gawkin Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Calling right now on the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone phone line is Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. And I hear tell, Jason, that your co-host has a thing he does occasionally. He sets aside his snark and his obstreperous ways, and he goes all in to support, to inspire, to lift up, and he delivers a speech, and those speeches are undefeated, a perfect 5-0. Indeed, I was skeptical because he said the other day that the Grizzlies down 3-1 to the Warriors, heavy underdogs. He was going to deliver a speech, and he gave me a taste of it on my show. And I said, "This is a kid. It's Steph, man. This can't work. This can't." And my God, it has worked like it has never worked before. And today, he's going to unleash another, and it's undefeated. Is this true?
It's true. I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I'm sort of in the catbird seat here because John's the one with all the pressure on him. So I'll be honest with you. To start this series, I picked Warriors in 6. John picked Warriors in 7. So here's my point here. If the Warriors win tonight, it turns out I'm just right? That's all there is to it. If I don't have to do anything but watch at this point. John, who, as you point out, is 5-0, he's become very involved. We've had callers, including Tony, blame him. Right when he hasn't done.
Well, sometimes
the speech,
he doesn't do the speech before important games. Did he do it? He didn't do it for Gonzaga.
He did a pump fake on game 4, and I think that's what really PO'd Tony and some others was that he played like he was going to give the speech. He didn't. Well, Grizz go on to lose game 4. Right, comes back with the speech, more of a back against the wall. Now you got to stave off elimination for game 5. Grizz wins. So some have said, you know, he wasn't all in for that game 4, and if he had been, perhaps the Grizzlies find a way to hold on that game. My point, Jeff, is he's 5-0 when these speeches go out over the air, and yeah, he's the one with the pressure on him today to perform. That's just all there is to it. He's our wordsmith from 11 to 2, and today he's got to be at his best. He's got to be, because this one's tougher. You know, you don't have Steph Curry with the bulletin board, whoop that trick. You're not going to have FedEx Forum rocking. You're in their place. The entire world outside of Memphis expects you to lose tonight. So he will have to dig deep. Last time it was just live till the morning, right?
Right.
You just wonder now, since they've lived till the morning and forced the game 6, right? And you feel a lot better that if this thing came back for a game 7, you just wonder. It can't be live till the morning. You got to go. You probably
live
feel
to
like
Monday
you can
doesn't have the
now.
Same so, win till Monday doesn't have the same ring to it. You know, it's
it doesn't
work.
But here's the great thing too, because that game is Monday and not Sunday. Guys, look at the way this plays out. John can give the speech today.
Again,
we improve to 6-0 when it goes over there. It's not Sunday. It's Monday. He can give another one Monday. We go 7-0 with the speech moving on to play. Man, I don't know. It might be Dallas.
Yeah, who the hell knows?
The way
at
that
this
thing
point.
Is looking. Either way, who cares? Right?
So
You're in the West Conference Finals.
Is the speech reserved purely for Grizzlies? And if it's not, why didn't he do
just
it?
Grizz.
Oh, it's just a Grizz
speech. It's organic, Jeff. You know our show.
Right, I know.
You can't force.
Okay.
It's completely organic. He felt like doing a speech. I guess take it back to Minnesota. You know, it worked there. And organically, this thing has grown and has remained undefeated, again, over the air. He tried to do one like on Twitter or something over a weekend with Riley. When it wasn't played over the air, it failed. When we are over the air, we are 5-0. And, yeah, man, we need another one today. There's no question about it.
Totally non-Memphian neutral observer living in Chicago and you decided to bet $20 on this game, and line is 8.5, would you take the Warriors and lay the points, or would you take the Grizzlies?
You're saying if I was just, I didn't, I wasn't.
You didn't have any emotional
all.
Investment. And we're just looking through this totally objective eyes.
I mean, for all the reasons I believe the Grizzlies can pull this off, I think you'd still have to lean that, right? Golden State's going to revert back to the championship DNA. They're at home. Those role players.
Yeah, but you're getting 8.5. I think it's going to be close.
By the end of it, I don't know, Jeff. It screams at you, take it, right? Well, that's right. Usually when they get you, Jeff. That's what I've found in my little bet, my couple of shekels, is when I feel like, you know, this one looks obvious. That's when they get you. And so, I don't know, man, Jeff. If I wasn't involved in it, I'd probably lean with the rest of the world and say Golden State. But listen. I'm not on that boat. I'm pulling for the Grizzlies tonight, and I certainly think they can keep it close. There's every reason to believe so, because you have a distinct advantage. It's not just like going out and hoping to God everybody plays their best game. You have a distinct advantage inside, and even if you've got a Dylan Brooks that's not making shots, as long as Bane is, as long as a couple other guys are, and you are taking advantage of that, you know, your Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson dominate those guys in the paint advantage, you can keep the game close, whether Golden State's hitting shots or not. So either way, I think you have to feel great about the Grizzlies' chances tonight. You're playing with house money at this point. You've made it an interesting series again. You've done it without Ja Morant. You've proven to the rest of the league this isn't just a deal where, yeah, you won one playoff series and then you laid down. No, you made Golden State look old and tired, and like this window might be closing. Not to mention, you look at the future, and you only feel better about it. Either way, it's been a hell of a season for the Grizzlies. You're playing with house money tonight.
So John Hollinger had an interesting piece at The Athletic today, and it was exploring the no-ja phenomenon. Okay,
I don't like it.
He's just exploring it. He's not weighing
Man, Edmiston has done this as well. He actually
comes to a sort of a different conclusion. He doesn't, but it is interesting. So if you just look at on its face, mm-hmm. with Ja Morant defensively per 100, they allow 111.2 points when he's on the court. They allow 105.3 when he's not on the court. If you take Tyus Jones, they still, what's interesting is they do better. They do just as well. They do better with Tyus defensively than with Ja, but they do just as well with no point. You know, when they played with no point guard, they do just as well at that point as they do with Tyus. And you know who makes a huge difference in all of this? It's Dylan Brooks makes a huge difference in all of this.
Oh, of course he does. Sure he does.
And so, for example, everyone says the Grizzlies are now 21-6 without Ja, right?
Mm-hmm.
In those, they are 18-4 when they have, I think this is right. Yeah, when they have Dylan, they are 3-2 without Dylan. In those, in other words, Dylan makes a huge impact in all of this. And you know what else makes an impact? That Tyus, whose defensive numbers are so much better than Ja's, you know who he plays with? He plays with DeAnthony and he plays with Kyle. So it's not just Tyus is sort of the point. It's a whole bunch of things are going into this. It is interesting though. Ja responded to it on Twitter last night. These discussions. What do you make of them? These discussions. You don't even like it to be brought up.
No, because it at some point it goes to the trying to make the point, right? Even if you're that they're better without him, and I think our eyeballs tell us we should trust them, and you know, I think in 2022 that's harder than ever before, right? What we see, because you'll have people tell you, no, the sky's not blue, and you see it blue. That's just where we are right now in terms of society. There are going to be things that the Grizzlies are better at when Ja Morant is off the floor, but you got to know this. Ja Morant is not going to stay the same defensive player that he is at 22, right, when he's 25, 26, 27, 28 years old. He is going to develop as well. And so we're almost talking about these guys like they're finished products right now, right? Whether it's Dylan Brooks and how much he's given, the point on Dylan Brooks and how much of a difference he makes defensively, we don't talk enough about, because much of the year we've talked about the defensive player of the year candidate that Jaren Jackson was. It's almost like we've kind of forgotten about the difference Dylan can make. Okay, set that to the side. Ja is not going to stay in this vacuum where he stays this point where he's this liability defensively. Did you see him against Minnesota when it was go time take the charge against Karl Anthony Towns? Like, this isn't a guy that runs away from defense. He's a guy who, listen, yeah, he came into the league a little bit defensively challenged, and we knew it was going to be with that body and everything else and as much focus as there was on his offensive game. So my whole point to this is we can look at it now and say, yeah, look at these stats that say this team is better. That ball moves around better when Ja Morant's out. Sure, there's some things. Consider this, too. A lot of teams have game planned for the Grizzlies. Their main game plan, right, that main book on the Grizzlies, it's got Ja playing point, as Draymond pointed out on his podcast. It's a new plan when Ja's not in there. And so some of the success has been that, right? It's a new look when it's the Grizzlies. That said, it also goes to let's not take away from the job that Zach Kleiman's done assembling this team. It's also evidence of that, of how good a team you have without Ja Morant. That said, we all know, let's bottom line this, man, that this team's better off with him, and Ja Morant is not done improving as a player.
I think if that's where you're taking the discussion to, if you take a conversation like what is happening here, why they do so well even when Ja is hurt, that is, to me, a interesting discussion. If you take it to, and they're better without Ja, that's a stupid discussion. So, right. you can, but the first naturally lends itself to the second, but you don't have to. You can limply say, how are they doing this? And I think your point about Draymond is interesting. Draymond, of course, as we know, does do this podcast, and he was talking in his most recent podcast about how much different it is literally on both sides of the ball, because, when you're guarding, you're and Ja's on the court, your whole focus is stopping Ja, getting the ball out of his hands, not letting him get to the rim, et cetera. Well, that changes when he's not there. And offensively, your whole focus is we're going to run actions so we can get someone on Ja, because he is the worst defender on the team. That's just true, certainly in the starting lineup. And so literally, from Draymond's perspective, it's like he said, it's like you're playing a whole different team.
I think with Ja takes everything personal, but I do think he's, you know, whether he's yelling, when he hears it asked of his players when he's out and he's yelling it, just tell him you're 20-5. Like, I think he takes this very personally. We know that the few that were, you know, at that game that were yelling out, what was that, I can't remember what game it was. We were there. My son and I were there. We could hear it from the people behind us that Ja took that personally. And Jeff, you and I have talked about this when he was out, right? We've touched on the how good they are defensively without. And we said players like Ja, who take things as personally and who are as motivated, right, by the naysayers, they use it as motivation, and typically they get better with it. And so this, I just think Ja is going to get better on that side. But back to the point of Hollinger and the question you asked me initially, listen, with Ja out, those guys have been important. The question is going to be, and this is on Ja, he can't be out this much, right, going forward, with everything that's going to be on his shoulders. The durability is going to have to be a thing that has to improve. He can't be out 31, 32 games per season going forward with what you're going to have invested in him. And so from that standpoint, too, it's not going to matter as much about, I hope, and again, barring injury, what you look like without Ja, you know, what it looks like without Ja Morant, because frankly, it's going to matter what it looks like when he's in there as that usage goes up, hopefully, and he stays healthy over his career and becomes a better defender. That's what's going to matter.
It is amazing to me that I've been reading some stuff from behind enemy lines from San Francisco writers.
Yep.
And there's this whole thing, like a lot of people out there are saying, well, it's game six, they'll be fine, they're back home, whatever else. But if you read the people who write about the Warriors, I don't mean like they're not fans, so there's not a sense of, but they're like Tim Kawakami, who's a columnist over at the Athletic, he wrote, listen, it's time to just go with our death lineup, our small ball lineup, right? That with their small ball lineup. That's what you got to roll with. And you know, stop with this Kuminga stuff. Stop with this. Just go ahead and roll with the little guys and Draymond. And it's interesting because it feels like they're scrambling. You know, like it's not just we got. In fact, it's not just listen. We got this. We're home now. We'll be fine. It's like, oh God, what? That's the sense you get, that there's a real sense of something has shifted in this series. and they're going to have to rise to meet the challenge.
Listen, I don't know that they've got the adjustments to make. Like we've seen it. We've seen that smaller group, and I believe, I truly do. We thought it coming off the Minnesota series, having watched this death lineup, that it would be a reset button if you had Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson. Well, you don't have Steven for the first two, but just like they think it's common sense, a no-brainer at this point after watching two games of Kuminga to go back. It was a no-brainer, felt like, to us watching, right, to get Steven Adams back there, go to the advantage you have. You are bigger and stronger, frankly, more athletic and faster than this older, aging Golden State team. And so I think they realize it. The only answer they've got, Jeff, to answer that is to try to go small. But again, and especially if part of that is not having Porter, right? If it's all on Wiggins to play that role in that small ball, you know, we even saw Bielitsa. If there's no Porter and they got to go that way, like, they just don't have a lot of answers, Jeff. That's the issue for them. Whereas, you know, the Grizzlies, hey, if big doesn't work tonight, sure, maybe you do at that point, right? If it's not, I said this yesterday, I'm going to lose going big tonight. Because I feel like, again, that's the one thing I have that I can control. That's the one thing I can take advantage of. And listen, it was obvious early on when Jaren Jackson's first shot is a post-up that they're thinking like that too. Just take that approach mentally into tonight and go out at least trying to take advantage of the one thing. Make them play your game like you did, like they had to this past one. You're finally in five games, you out-rebounded them. Make them play your game as opposed to the other way around. You know, that's the way this series started. But you've obviously found a thing that works. Stick to it until they show that they can they can adjust. Jeff, I'm not sure they've got the adjustments to make.
What's interesting, so the lineup just for the – it's Steph and Clay and Jordan Poole and then Draymond and Wiggins. That's their
correct,
super small lineup. And with those guys on the floor in this series, they have a 94.5 offensive rating and a 90.1 defensive rating. So it's that lineup, which is their supposedly terrifying lineup, is a minus 3.6 net rating. If you put Otto Porter in for either Wiggins or Poole, they do much better. But we don't know if he's available.
You're taking another body from them for a team, again, that's got aging legs. Like that lineup of death, three of those guys, yeah, they're Hall of Famers, but they're older. And you know what they're tired of? They're tired of running around chasing this Grizzlies team. They're tired of this Grizzlies team with young legs chasing them around. Hell, they want some rest. And so, I mean, I think you saw that. That came out in Clay's frustration about not closing out here, right? You could tell internally they intended to come in that in big boy Memphis and say, hey, man, we're going to whip that trick. You guys are too young. You don't have job. And Memphis, I mean, put the mirror in front of their – took the mask off of them. And so I have to think, Jeff, inside, those doubts have crept in because, again, I mean, you're looking at that Memphis team rolling you off the floor and Ja Morant sitting over there wearing Balenciaga. Like, he didn't even do it, and you fell behind 55. At some point, you ask yourself, damn, this team might just be better than us. Well, we better rely on our championship DNA because it's damn near the only thing we've got. Hopefully, again, for them, you're going to have those old Steph Curry, Klay Thompson kind of nights, right? That's what they're banking on. But again, even if that stuff's dropping, there's nothing that says they can stop Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson inside. So, you know, go bang this team around and push them around like Desmond Bane pushed a pool into Brandon Clark on that screen and just try to punk them like you have to, you know, pretty much the last two games of the series.
I do think it's pretty well clear that they will have a different starting lineup because that starting lineup, Curry, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Kuminga, has played 18 minutes and is a net 59.7 net, minus 59.7 net rating. Kuminga ain't starting tonight. I can guarantee you that. Well, Jason, I'll be listening. We're going to get the speech again.
Is
going to try to go
6-0,
undefeated,
man.
6-0, and from 11 to 2. Thanks, Jason. Really appreciate
it. Thanks, man. Yep.
That is Jason Smith every single day on this station. We get Jason Smith talking about all kinds of things. He and John, and I'm an avid listener. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join the show. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.